getting there with that one. Proverbs 26, please. Proverbs chapter 26. And we're going to consider some biblical wisdom this morning. Proverbs chapter 26, and we're breaking in at verse 20, please. Proverbs 26, verse 20 says, "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to a burning coals, and wood to a fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him, when he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin." Let's seek the Lord's face with his word open before us. Father, as we read thy word in thy presence this morning, before we make a single comment, it already calls us short. And Father, as we can come to consider these verses this morning, we ask for the help and the aid of the Spirit of God for preacher and for hearer alike. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of talebearing or gossip. During the Second World War, there were posters that said this: "Loose lips sink ships." It was a warning to all not to talk openly about their military deployments or about the armaments they were making in their factories, lest a Nazi spy was nearby and would carry their words as intelligence back to the Nazi war machine. We could adopt that phrase this morning and we could say, "Loose lips sink churches." And we should all be aware of the strife and trouble that can spread in an assembly of God's people because of loose talk. There are many sins identified in the Word of God, and the thought of committing some of them would make us recoil. However, there are sins that are more socially acceptable among God's people, and chief among those are the sins of the tongue. The passage that we've read this morning is only one of many portions of Scripture which we could turn to obtain instruction in righteousness in relation to talebearing. The law of Moses outright condemned it. Leviticus 19:16 said, Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Slandering and plotting against our neighbor were prohibited in the law of Moses. The principle, of course, is repeated in the New Testament. Paul condemning gossips refers to their activity in 1 Timothy 5:3, saying, "And withal they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." Isn't that the word our American cousins use for talebearers? They call them tattletales. The church at Thessalonica had similar trouble. And Paul, writing in 2 Thessalonians 3, said this: "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any should not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." We will see of ourselves a world of pain in our families, in our workplaces, and in our church, if we can just learn to control the little member that rests between our teeth. You know, words are a wonderful thing. God has given human beings an ability that no other animal was given, to communicate with words. Did God not come into the garden in the cool of the day to walk and talk with Adam? But sadly, the fall of man has corrupted every aspect of our lives, and that includes our words and our conversations. The Apostle Paul in Romans 3, in his powerful description of the depravity of man, says this of fallen man: "Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness." And sadly, as sinners saved by grace, we too are prone to slip into carnality and the poison of asps can be found on our lips. The Savior himself warned about our words in Matthew 12. He said this: "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." The accountability of our words ought to be a sobering thought for us all. The book of Proverbs, we've already read this morning, has a lot to say about the subject of talebearing and the tongue. Proverbs 11:13, for example, says, "A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." Be careful who you confide in. Make sure it's someone who's in control of their tongue. Proverbs 18:8 says, "The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly." And those very same words are repeated in the passage we read this morning in Proverbs 26, verse 22. And I think it's noteworthy that the Holy Spirit saw fit to put that verse in twice. Proverbs 20:19 says, "He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Solomon is telling us here that if we identify someone as a talebearer, we should not meddle with them. That is, we should avoid them. Sage advice, indeed. But I want us to look now at the passage that we've read this morning already. And in particular, I just want to look at the first three verses that we read. From verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. The first proverb in verse 20 is a very simple concept to understand. Most of us have or have had in the past an open fire or a stove in our homes. And we love to sit by it, particularly in those cold winter nights. And we love to enjoy its heat. And we know also that there's a constant need to bring fuel to the fire, to keep it going or it will soon go out. No fuel, no fire. The proverb in verse 20 then switches from the physical principle to make a spiritual application, comparing the fuel that keeps the fire going to the unsavory business of talebearing. So, where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. It's important to note that it is the talebearer that is the fuel to this fire, not the tale itself. The talebearer is the fuel to this fire. I'm sure some of you have been on fire awareness courses in the course of your employment. It's one of those standard health and safety modules that we all go through to make sure that we're working in a safe environment. And if you ever go on one of those courses, you're taught about the three essential ingredients for a fire. There's heat, there's fuel, and there's oxygen. We've already identified from verse 20 that the fuel is the talebearer. Can I suggest that the heat comes from the tale that is being told? That juicy bit of gossip. Or maybe we could call it the hot news. The other component is oxygen. And the oxygen is provided by the person who is willing to listen to the tale that is being told. If any of these three components are removed, the fire goes out. We should also note the striking comparison with fire in this proverb. The strife caused by tale-bearing itself is likened to a fire. A moment ago, we noted how we love to sit by the hearth and enjoy the fire. But we also realize and recognize that if it got out of the hearth, it could be very destructive and very dangerous. I remember as a child back home, my mom used to always have a rug in front of the fire. And every so often, there was a crack in the fire. And a piece of a hot coal spit out and landed in the middle of mom's good rug. And dad dashed to get the tongs and lift it back in. But it was always too late. There was a black hole in the middle of the rug. Because fires are very, very destructive. James, in his practical little epistle, identifies the exact same theme. He says in James 3, 5 and 6, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. This verse brings before us in very stark language the dangerous potential of our tongues. Our tongues can boast. Our tongues can kindle strife. Our tongues can defile us. Our tongues can be used to do the very work of the devil himself, set on fire of hell. In the qualifications of a deacon, outlined in 1 Timothy 3, Paul says this concerning the deacon's wives. He says, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, but sober, faithful in all things. That word slanderers there is translated from the Greek word diabolos. That's where we get the word devil from. It means to be a false accuser and reinforces this idea that when we employ our tongues to bear tales, we are doing the devil's work. Set on fire of hell. And I'm not quoting that verse this morning to call into question any of our deacons' wives this morning. I'm simply making the point that to talebear or to gossip is to do the devil's work. Set on fire of hell. Back to Proverbs 26. As we move into verse 21, we see that it reinforces what's already been said in verse 20. As coals are to burning coals, and wood to a fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. A man, or a woman for that matter, who carries tales is considered contentious, a stirrer of trouble and strife. And the fire analogy continues into this verse, and we see a plurality before us in this verse because the verse talks about coals, plural. And the sad reality often is that talebearing is not normally the work of one individual. But rather, there are multiples of people who live to hear the next piece of juicy gossip so that they can pass it along, perhaps not even realizing that they are fueling a fire of strife. I wonder, is that what Paul was talking about in Galatians 5:15 when he said this? But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. In this multiplication factor that really causes strife to take hold and get out of control, you see, if you have a fire in the hearth at home and you take a coal out, just one coal out with the tongs, that coal will soon go out. The fire will go out and it will begin to cool down. But if you throw it back into the hearth with the other coals, it lights up again. And the reality is, with gossip, it takes a network of people who are willing to listen to the gossip and then willing to pass it on, for the fire to really take hold. Fires can be really destructive when out of control. In the physical, think of those forest fires that we see on the news in those countries with a drier climate. The fire just rips through vast swathes of land, leaving devastation in its wake. Is the same not true of spiritual fires? Sweep through vast swathes of people, leaving devastation in their wake. You know, the most effective way to stop fires like this is to remove the fuel. And the firefighter tries to predict the path of the fire by whatever way the wind happens to be blowing, perhaps. And then they try to get away ahead of it, and they'll fell lines of trees and they'll rake up the ground in an effort that when the fire gets to that point, it can go no further. The fuel that we've identified this morning is the talebearing. And if we want to stop fires spreading and leaving devastation, then we need to remove the fuel. We need to stop talebearing. It's not complicated. not complicated at all. But there's a big problem. And the problem is us. Our carnal nature, our flesh, loves it. And that moves us to verse 22. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost part of the belly. As we read that verse, we would conclude that the person being gossiped about will be hurt, and that hurt will run deep into the innermost parts of the belly. And that certainly is true. If a person who is being gossiped about finds out about it, it hurts them. However, oftentimes that person may be blissfully unaware of what is being said about them. And isn't that how gossip works? It's whispered words. It's pulling people into a quiet corner to speak into their ear, or calling at their home when no one else knows about it. Proverbs 16:28 says, "A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends." But you see, there's an alternative rendering to this verse 22 that sheds a bit of light on the motives for talebearing. The word translated wounds in verse 22 is from the Hebrew word laham. Now that word is found only twice in the Bible. It's found in Proverbs 26:22, and it's found in that other proverb that we read a few moments ago in Proverbs 18. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. That's the only two places in the Bible where that word appears. And they're translated in the same way both times as wounds. And we're unable to compare other scriptures to see what other ways it's translated. But when you actually look at what the Hebrew word means, it means this: to swallow down greedily. That's what the Hebrew word laham means, to swallow down greedily. So let's render the verse like this: the words of a talebearer are swallowed down greedily, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. The truth of the matter is, our old carnal nature loves to hear a juicy piece of gossip. Our old carnal nature greedily swallows it down. And then once we have imbibed it, it's there forever. We will remember it until our dying day. That scandalous accusation that we heard about someone, we'll never forget it. Maybe someone says, "So-and-so is flirting with all the men in the church." And we might say to ourselves, "That can't be true." And then a few weeks later, we see the individual that we heard about talking to another woman's husband in the church. And we immediately think to ourselves, "Oh, maybe there's something to that." And in our minds, a perfectly innocent interaction becomes sullied. And that's what gossip does. What is the lesson? Don't gossip. Don't slander people. But you object and say, "But what if the piece of gossip is true? What if it's something that has happened to you firsthand and you know it's true because it's happened to you?" And you might say this morning, "If only you knew, Morris, what so-and-so did to me. How they wronged me. How they hurt me." Well, as we consider the scriptures, we can see three different ways in which people can deal with these things. Two of them have God's blessing and one of them does not. Option one, 1 Peter 4:8 says this: "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." You see, we can say to ourselves, "Yes, so-and-so has hurt me. But they are my brother and sister in Christ. and I am called to love them. Therefore, I will take that hurt and I will suck it up. And I will say nothing more about it. After all, I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I've hurt people along the way too. So I'll forgive them and I'll move on. That's a high road. That's the road the Savior took, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. We will have the smile of heaven upon us if we react to hurts in this way. The other option that we have in the Word of God is from the graciousness of God to us. You see, there may be times when the hurt is too great for us to bear, too hard for us to swallow, and we feel that the issue needs to be dealt with. And God in his mercy has provided a means by which we can address these things. We find the God-ordained method in Matthew 18. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. There's three steps to this process. Step one, speak to the offending party alone. If that does not succeed, bring a witness and speak to the offending party a second time. And if that does not succeed, bring it to the church. It's a rarely used option, but it's a biblical one. And then the third option is the option that does not have the approval of God. It is the dangerous and destructive option, and it seems to be the default option so often. Talk about the person who has wronged you to others. Talebearer and gossip. And just because it's true doesn't mean that we're allowed to do it. The multiple scriptures we've looked at this morning make that abundantly clear. And as we draw to a close this morning, I want to think with you about the four people, or the four groups of people, involved in talebearing. First, the talebearer. Before you become a talebearer, there are some things you need to consider. We've already looked at the scenario where the gossip is about a very real hurt that you've experienced, and we've learned the biblical lesson on that. But I want to think more generally now about general gossip. When you tell someone something about someone else, how do you know it's true? If it's not firsthand, that is. Or at least not half true. Or exaggerated. If you pass on something that's not true, you're breaking the ninth commandment and you're bearing false witness against your neighbor. It's important to realize that a piece of gossip is usually embellished or perhaps diminished as it is passed from person to person. Important details that give context are often lost along the telling of the story. Or the story goes from apparently he said to definitely he said. Verbal communication from one person to another is unreliable at best. I'm sure you've all played that game at the party, Chinese whispers. And everybody sits in a circle and the first person whispers a sentence into someone's ear and they pass it around the circle. And by the time it comes to the last person, they have to say out loud what the sentence is. And generally, it bears no similarity whatsoever to the sentence that started the whole process. Verbal communication is very unreliable. But then we have the tale hearer. It's already been suggested that the person willing to listen to the gossip is the oxygen to the fire. If a man or a woman carrying a tale found that the response of people was, just stop there. I don't want to hear any gossip. It would soon put people off spreading it. But sadly, our old nature is just delighted to swallow down the latest piece of hot news. There's a brother in this meeting who approached me on one occasion after there had been a little bit of trouble in the assembly. And he said these words to me. He said that he was aware that there were things going on, and he wanted to let me know that he was praying for the oversight. And then he added this. He said, "I'm not saying this because I want you to tell me about it." And then he stated, "A couple of people have already tried to tell me about it, and I've told them I don't want to know." He concluded by saying, "I don't want to hear something about someone that would make me think ill of them." And the conversation was over. If everyone took that approach, the problem of gossip would be eradicated. But then we have the person being talked about. I've already acknowledged that it's possible that gossip will come to the ears of the one being spoken about, and this can be hurtful to them. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, "Curse not the king, not in thy thought. Curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter." Isn't that where we get the little phrase, "a little bird told me"? When you whisper about someone, you're unwilling to speak to them directly about it, but they might well hear about it anyway. But there's something else that we do to people when we gossip about them. We're potentially stealing from them. "And thou shalt not steal." Because we're stealing their reputation. For others will think less of them based on the gossip that's been shared. In an extreme example, we may even kill them. I'm not talking about physically, I'm just talking about killing someone's reputation. "Thou shalt not kill." However, there's a final party that we need to consider in all of this. The person who hears all conversations. We sang earlier about the unseen hand. What about the unseen ear? Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." And our omniscient God is aware of every time we've ever engaged in this sinful activity. And let's not kid ourselves, it is a sinful activity. In fact, it's an abomination to God. And it might be acceptable for us, but it's not for him. Consider Proverbs 6, verse 12, "A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers, frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually, he soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." God hates talebearing. God hates gossip. And God hates slandering. On the cross, when the Savior was bearing our sins in his body on the tree, out of the midst of the darkness he cried, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" There's millions of ways we can answer that question. But the answer could rightly have come back from heaven. "I've forsaken you for all the sins of gossip. For all those folks in Lurgan Baptist Church." We need to be so careful about our words. Solomon said in Proverbs 10:19, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." In other words, if we talk too much, we're likely to get ourselves into trouble. The wise man has a lot less to say. He reinforced that in Proverbs 17:28, saying, "Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." I've already identified this morning that our problem is our old carnal nature, which just loves to talk about people. We love to hear gossip, and we love to pass it on. We need to allow the Spirit of God to control our lives and to control our lips. Our prayer should be that of the psalmist in Psalm 141. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Then we will be in a place where our words are acceptable to God. And we can say with sincerity, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts today. We're going to sing a hymn in closing, Take My Life. And let it be, one of the verses in this hymn says, take my lips and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my life and let it be. just come before thee now and we thank thee for thy word. And Father, we have to acknowledge that sin lieth at the door. For this is a sin that is so frequent amongst us. And Father, help us to take that higher road. Help us to be more and more like the Lord Jesus. Help us to be conformed to the image of thy dear Son. Father, for those who must leave us now, take them to their homes in safety. And for those of us who remain around the table, give us precious moments as we remember the Savior in his own appointed way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.